Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. As you can tell, our worship pastor's drinking awful heavily today up here. Sometimes we've got your wine cooler you got. Oh, it's water. My fault. I'm sorry. Was that embarrassing? I'm sorry. I told my father-in-law I was going to do that to you today. But man, we are so blessed with the talent that God's given us. I'm so thankful for the heart that they bring every time that they lead us in worship. It is a blessing to be a part of. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 23. If you haven't been with us in a while, we want to say thank you for being here. But the other thing that we want to explain to you, we are in a series that we've been doing for an entire year and a half now called Route 66. We're trying to keep the context of the Bible as simply as we possibly can, because here's how a lot of people read the Bible. They kind of flip it open and they stop on a verse and they go, oh wow, this is now my life verse and I'm going to live this out, when it's completely blown out of proportion. And so we have to read all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Why? So we can see the narrative that's happening in the Bible. And here's the narrative of the Bible we found out so far, is that because we chose not to follow God, we now live in sin. Now there's a payment for sin. Why? Because God is holy and He is pure. And in the Old Testament, it was by sacrificing an animal, and we could get really weird in here, and I don't want to demonstrate it, then everybody would leave, because they're like, yeah, they cut chickens' heads off, and you know, they charmed snakes, and we're not going to do that. But really, they had this idea of what it was to worship God. They were always at the cusp of figuring out what it meant to follow God, only to fall backwards. But the point was, is God gives them the Ten Commandments, and we've said this a lot lately. The Ten Commandments were never put in place so that you could have a checklist to live by. A lot of people want to say this, like, I just live by the Ten Commandments. Well, the point of the Ten Commandments was to show you that you could not, by your own capability, by your own morality, by your own walk, somehow manipulate God with doing those Ten Commandments. It was there to show you that you were in need of a Savior. And so every time we open up the Bible, we're going to have to read it with the lens that we put on of saying, okay, God, here's what I need most from you, is that I'm ignorant, I'm foolish in moments, but most of all, God, I'm in need of your grace and your mercy. I'm dependent upon the finished work of Jesus. And so this is how we have to read the Bible, because if we just pick and choose what we want to read out of the Bible, then we have all these mixed up things, and a Bible verse doesn't work for us because we prayed it over and over and over again, and somehow it didn't magically work for me. Then we get frustrated with God. And how many of us, let's just be honest, have been frustrated in that moment with God? You prayed about it, you're trying to do what Scripture says, but it doesn't seem to work out. God never promises in here that He is going to give you health and happiness and wealth. That is something that the American gospel has tried to cheat you with, and so we have all these disappointed believers that come in every week hoping that the pastor hits a home run and makes them feel better about their life, because they're not happy with what they're looking at in the mirror. Can I get an amen? And so the problem is that we've read the Bible so poorly as a nation, it's caused us to view it with just, it's all about me. And the Scripture has very little to do about you and a lot to do about what you need, which is Jesus. And I think that Solomon kind of felt this in his heart when he writes the book of Proverbs. A couple weeks ago, we talked about having wise feet. And the main statement that we said was this: direction, not intention, gets you to the right destination. You remember that? Direction, not intention, gets you to the right destination. Because you can have all the good intentions you want to and still end up in a place that you didn't want to be. It's direction. And the Bible even says it very clearly here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. It says this: ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. That's one of the things we as believers, we have to look at the way that we walk. We have to look at the way that where our feet are taking us is eventually going to get us to the destination that we want to be at. This week, we're going to talk about how to have a wise heart. And if you know anything about the book of Proverbs, Solomon is writing this to his son. Solomon's at the end of his life. He realizes, man, I'm fixing to give the keys to the Ferrari, or the nation of Israel, the children of God, these two sons. And I don't think he thinks real highly of them, because maybe they've grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth or a gold spoon in their mouth. And he's not real sure that he's led them in a direction that they're going to be able to lead the nation of Israel. And so he writes this book of memoirs of saying, hey, through my life, as I've studied, as I've walked, these are things that I've learned. And I can basically take all of life and I can put them in a nutshell and I can hand it to you. If you'll do the principles that I'm teaching you here, you're probably going to have a very successful life. And so if you're a student in here, can I just say this? It's very important that you listen the next 2 weeks, because we're going to talk about having a wise heart today. And if you're going to guard your heart like the Bible says, it's important that you pay attention to what the Word says here. It's just not a day that we just go through to check a box and go, okay, I came, surely God should bless me. We've got to pay attention to what it says. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Solomon writing to his sons, he says this. He's like, hey guys, above all else. I think if you start off the line that way, above all else, meaning, hey, if there's one thing that I really want you to consider, there's one thing that I really want you to grab hold of, I want you to grab hold of this. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. He says, here's the point. If you'll guard your heart, everything in life, every success in life will flow from how you guard your heart. Why is this so important for us to understand? Well, we hear this, and sometimes because we don't grow up in a culture that talks about the heart like this, we're talking about, well, I got to stay healthy. I got to stay fit. This is talking about physical fitness. I need to take care of my heart. False. This is not talking about physical fitness. This here is talking about the inner seat of a man. In the original language, this is exactly what it's talking about. It's where the emotions come from, where you get stirred up, where anger comes from, where happiness comes from, where delight comes from. It's the heart of a man. And here's what he says about it. You've got to guard yourself from those emotions. You've got to guard yourself from making rash decisions. You've got to guard yourself, because sometimes these things develop the character of your life. And so basically what he's telling his boys here, he's like, listen, you've got to make sure that you're guarding your character at all times, because your character is fragile. How do we know that our character is fragile? Well, the Bible says this in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It says, the heart above all else is wicked and deceitful. You meaning this, that your heart can be deceived at any time, because Satan knows our weaknesses. And this is what Solomon's writing his boys. He's like, listen, it's important that you guard your heart, because what you do today will directly affect what happens tomorrow. So the decisions you make today, you're going to have to live with tomorrow. You're going to have to walk in tomorrow. So you've got to guard it with everything that you have. And that's talking about your marriage and the things that you do and the things that you say. All this stuff is developed from the heart. And he says, man, guard that with all you got. Above all else, don't make another priority other than this. Make this number one priority in your life. Not your family, not your health, not your wealth, not your happiness. The number one thing that you should guard. What I've learned through my years, boys, leading this nation, being a nation that I've tried to put under God, I've learned this one key factor is that if I will take my heart and my emotions and my character and everything that comes from that, if I'll guard that with all that I have, it means that tomorrow is going to be better. Because for some of us in here, we've never heard this. And we go, you know what? That's probably one of my problems. When I look at it, I say all the time, I'm going to just trust my heart in this. And how many of you have made decisions, made a rash decision, and you said, I'm just going to go with my gut on this. I'm going to go with my heart, only to be burned by it. Anybody? Anybody been burned by their heart? I'm going to tell you, I've been burned by my heart so many times. Why? Because the Bible tells me if your heart has not been guarded before you made that decision, you're probably going to make a bad decision. Why? Because Jeremiah 17:9 says it's deceitful, it's wicked, it's trying to trick you. And Solomon, knowing this, trying to spread this onto his boys, he says to him, guard it. And so my question today, and we're going to be fast, but how do you guard your heart? I think that should be the thing that's on the tip of your tongue and on the edge of your mind, saying, well, okay, Pastor, I understand that it's important that I guard this seat of emotion. I guard this feeling to just react. I've got to guard my character, but how do I do that? Well, I'm going to give you three things that you can do. And these are three things that I've just taken right out of the Bible, And it's not like I just came up with them on my own. It's probably for your benefit that I took these out of the Bible. Okay? Can I get an amen? That I just didn't come, you know, go to some Chinese restaurant and get a fortune cookie and crack it open and be like, oh, today it says. Okay? We're going to stick to the Word. So the first way that you guard your heart is very simple. Number one, write it down. James 1:5. I didn't even have to make that up very hard. James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I was visiting with a good friend of mine this week, and we were talking about how to do certain things in life. And I told him, I was like, hey, brother, listen, anytime you make a decision, the thing that you should do is you should set and go James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. How many times have you made a decision just based off of experience instead of saying, okay, God, I know that I know where I've been, but right now I'm going to ask you what I need to do. The Bible says that in James 1:5. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And you know what the promise is on the backside of that? It says, God gives it to anyone who asks. Wait a minute. That means even a non-believer in this room, even if you're somebody in here that doesn't believe in God or doesn't have a relationship with God, it says that you could still ask from God and he will give you wisdom. He grants that to you. I don't know how many years I went in my life without James 1:5. I don't know how many decisions I've made that have cost me because I didn't go to God and say, God, I'm going to put the ball in your court. You're young. Some of y'all are young in here. I'm telling you, learn right now what it means to say, okay, God, I lack wisdom in this moment. Sometimes it's our pride that gets in the way, is it not? We go, okay, God, I got this. I've been to handling school. How many of y'all made decisions off that? I've been to handling school. I've been down that road. I've walked that dog before. It's all good. I know what I'm doing, God. And all you do is find yourself in more mess after more mess after more mess. When all God wanted was say, hey, listen, I need you to need me. I need you to know that I'm smarter than you. I need you to know that I'm already around the corner in your life. Why wouldn't you ask me my advice? I've already been there. I've already done that. I'm the king of handling school. And that's what God says. He says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And I can't tell you how many times in my own personal life, like somebody is like, cut me off or backstabbed me, and that seat of emotion where all that is, my heart, the way my heart wanted to react, you know what I mean? Literally, it involved blood and secret death. You know where I'm at, right? And in that moment, the Lord says, that's probably not best. Why don't you just ask me? And out of all wisdom, God just put the words in my heart, the things to do, and because I acted the way God called me to act, he tied the knot over here. Does that make sense? So Solomon saying to his kids, guard your heart above all else. The first thing is you're not always going to be right in your decisions. You should always be willing to say, okay, God, I need your advice here. I need your help here. Number two, if you're taking notes, not only do you ask for it, the second thing is you got to be careful how you think. I love what Proverbs 23:7 says. Somebody needs to write this down and underline this in their Bible. It says this, as someone thinks within himself, so he is. Simple, right? As someone thinks within himself, so he is. What you think about is what will happen. And here's one of the things that I get so messed up in is my natural thing when trouble comes and circumstances happen, I tend to lean towards the negative. Is anybody else with me? Like the worst outcome possible. And all I can do is think about what could happen if I keep going down this road. And what I've generally found is because I didn't ask God for wisdom and my thoughts weren't pure, my thoughts weren't in line with what God had for me, usually the outcome was my worst fear. But when I began to take those thoughts, and as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, watch what it says here. It says we're going to take captive every thought and we're going to subject it to Jesus. Can everybody do that with me? Take captive the thought. Come on, help me now. Take captive the thought. I know this is weird, and I know this seems like this is not the place to do it. We're Baptists. We don't raise our hands. We sit here like knots of law. We don't say amen. Even though the pastor's really preaching at me, I'm just going to sit here and act like I'm bored to death. So you're going to help me out. I'm going to take captive my thoughts. And the Bible says that I'm going to subject those to Jesus. You know what that means? Is that not every thought is true. That's how you got to guard your heart. The Bible says you got to take captive those thoughts, those things that are negative, those things that might be partly true about you, those things that have just haunted you. You're going to take captive those thoughts. Some people in here, man, this is so important that you hear this, because you're your worst enemy. Are you not? Like, your mind, what's between your ears, is your greatest enemy in life. And it's the thing that you say is like, I just need to know how to think better. That's what the Bible says, is that if you'll take captive every thought and you'll subject it to Jesus, it'll change the way that you think. You know what it means to take captive the thought? You grab hold of it, and here's what most people want to do. They want to pull their phone out because they don't study the Word. They want to go, hey, Sam. See that? I don't want a deep relationship with God. I don't want to know the Word, but I have my pastor on speed dial. You know how you have, hey, Siri? Hey, Sam. Hey, Sam. When, listen, it's unfair to you. The very same Bible that I read from is the very same thing that you have to glean from and use. So if I don't know the Word of God, listen, if I don't know what the Bible actually says about my identity, if I don't know what the Bible says about me when I said yes to Christ, if I don't understand what it means to be a born-again believer set free from my past, if I don't understand that, I don't know how to take captive my thoughts, because when I grab a hold of them, they start pulling me even further away. But when I know the Word of God, I take captive the thought and I subject them to who Jesus is and what the Bible says. Listen to what it says. Here's one of them. I use this all the time. I hate my past. There's things in my past I would change. If I invented the flux capacitor, if you go back to old Sam and say, stay away from them, don't go there, I would go in a heartbeat. But because I can't, man, Satan always reminds me of those things. I got to take captive that thought and watch this. Because I know the Word of God, because the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It'll show me what I need to think and what I need to think and where I need to go with my mind. I subject it to the truth of the Scripture. The truth of the Scripture says this: behold, in Christ Jesus, all things are made what? New. For the former things passed away, and all things have become new. How awesome is that? Like, I can reach out and I can grab a thought of whatever's going on in my mind, and I can grab it and I can subject it to the Word of God and say, wait a minute, this isn't true. This is exactly what Jesus did. He's getting tempted and Satan's like, oh, you be this. Jesus grabs the thought and says, I'm not going to let my mind go there. He implants it, or he interchanges that thought with an idea from the Word. Oh, no, man, she just lived by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He quotes Scripture to Satan. But how in the world do you think you're ever going to survive in a world that's pulling you away from the truth of Scriptures if you don't know the Scriptures? You're allowing yourself to be beat up every day when there was no need for you to ever be beaten up. Because here's what I've learned. When I take captive my thoughts and I implant the Bible to where I need to give those thoughts and I subject them to Jesus, look what happens. What it says here in Philippians 4:8. It says, I'm going to fill my mind with what? Whatever is pure, whatever is trustworthy, whatever is noble, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is commendable, anything worthy of praise, I'm going to think upon these things. And so the minute, man, my mind just begins to run wild, the Bible says how I guard my heart. As I grab those thoughts, I subject them to the Word of God, and I say, you know, wait a minute, that's not true. And here's some real cool things that I've learned to do in my own life. When my thoughts begin to run wild and I grab a hold of them, one of the questions that I ask, you ready? Before I let it go crazy, I grab it and I say, is this biblical? Can I get an amen to that? Some of y'all not amen to that because my Bible, I don't know where it is. I'm going to grab hold of it. I'm going to say, is this really true about what God says about me in this moment? Is it biblical? Can I find somewhere in the Bible where God's going to beat me up the way I'm beating up myself? Is this biblical? I grab that thought and I subject it to the Bible. Here's the other thing. I'm going to grab that thought, and if that didn't work, I'm going to do this. I'm going to hold it in my hand. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, is this what Jesus says about me? You want to know how powerful that is? Because I want you to think about something. We worshiped the risen Savior. But Jesus still died knowing that once I said yes to Him, I was going to continue to struggle with sin. And He still died for me. I'm going to grab that thought. And I'm going to say, nothing defeats Jesus. He's risen. That doesn't have a hold on me. Because, listen, when I grab that thought, I have to say this to myself. I'm not what everybody else says that I am. I am who God says that I am. And all of a sudden, I've guarded my heart. Because your mind, and let's just be honest with ourselves, is the most dangerous thing to you. The last thing, if you're taking notes, it's not just asking for wisdom. It's not just taking captive the thoughts. But I love that the Bible does this. It's so pointed, and I think that we miss this, but it says, you've got to beware of the false imitations. Because in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, it says this, that Satan masquerades himself or parades himself around like he's children of light. He's very crafty. The Bible actually uses this term in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says this. He says that he's more subtle than all the other beasts of the field, which means that he knows how to attack you. He knows your weaknesses. He will make you think one thing because you can look at it over here and go, it's really not that bad. That's what he does with Eve. Y'all remember this in the story? Eve hadn't been created, so of course he's going to attack her. And what's the first question that he gives her? Did God really say? Knowing that she hadn't been created yet, she was created after God gave Adam those commands in verse 17. She's not created until verse 20. And because her husband is like your husband, ladies, he's horrible with communication. He gives you just a little bit of detail. He just says, hey, stay away from that tree. And as a woman, you're like, why? Is there any other ladies in here like that? I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying, like, I need to know. And we show up at a family dinner not knowing that we were supposed to bring the drinks. And I didn't tell her. I just said we had a family dinner. Does this happen? Yeah. Just like Adam. I didn't fall far from the tree. He just says, hey, stay away from that tree. So Satan says, did God really say? Her not being there, she's like, we can't touch it and we'll die? And it never said anything about touching. It says, in the day that you eat it, you'll die. And then Satan says, oh, wait a minute. Hey, Eve, I think God's holding out on you because I think he knows in the day that you eat it, you'll become wise like him. And I think, honestly, and every sin has its root in this. We've talked about this 1,000 times. Every sin has its root in this one thing. You think that you make a better God than God does. That's how sin starts. When you make a decision about what you're going to do with your life or a decision about following through with sin, it always starts with this idea of saying, okay, God's holding out on me. I think that I make a better God than God does. And Satan knows this. And this is how he chums the water. Because when I think of imitation, I love the season. This is my favorite season right here, crappie season. I've been a couple of times, not very good at it. I love it. I borrowed these. These are on sale, by the way. This is Tammy's rod. I'll sell it for $4 if anybody wants it. Just kidding. But the truth is that the thing that I love about fishing is, and I don't quite understand, I can take the right color jig and I can toss it out there. And look at this. I already got a rat's nest in it. I'm really good at fishing. Hey! Did you set this up this way? You dirty dog. You did this on purpose, didn't you? All right. We're all fixed. Now, here's a nice little trick you should learn, and it took me a while. always make sure the line is in the bell, because when you go to set it, if it's halfway in the middle of the bell, it's going to not set the hook. So, right? Thank you. Adam had to teach that to me. I was missing all the fish. Oh, they're stuck in the carpet. I knew I was going to do this. All right. Liam, hey, there.
Knowing you're going to throw into the crowd.
This is not going like I planned. You ever done that? Like, I should have captured the thought and subjected to Jesus, and instead I just want to do my own thing. That's funny. But the truth is that I've never really understood fishing, because these fish are just going along all buddy-buddy, like, mate season, we got to get a nice wave their fan tails, create a little place for the woman to lay her eggs, you know what I mean? But, like, he's all buddy-buddy with somebody, and you throw out there, and boom, your friend magically goes to the sky. The very next second, the same bait comes right along, and you're like, I want to go where he went. You want to know why? Because Satan parades around, masquerades around like a children of light. He begins to convince you of things that are untrue. He begins to tell you that if you'll just have a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that, you will be more successful. You'll have a happier life. Your marriage will be better. If you'll just take this. And then you find yourself at the very same place that your other friend is at. Because truthfully, at the end of the day, the Bible says in Hebrews 14, verse 12, it says there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end leads to his destruction. The word destruction there means death. Death in your marriage. Death in your relationships. Death in your finances. Because you need to understand something. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says that Satan parades around like a roaring lion. That's actually 1 Peter 1, 5, 8. No, I got it. I've never fished before. But it says this. It says that put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Because we don't use the word wiles. It's kind of hard for us to understand what it's actually saying. Wiles is actually means bag of tricks. That Satan has a tackle box that is endless. And how he gets your attention is he always starts with doubt. When he gets Eve, he says, did God really say? Creates doubt. Do you really believe what God says about you? Because it's one thing to take captive the thoughts, but if you don't believe what the Bible says about you and your relationship to Jesus, you're going to fall every time, because Satan will know that, and he'll chum the water with this idea of doubt, thinking, well, you know what? Or he'll bring up your past, and he'll throw that out there. He'll throw your past out there, and now that you're thinking about your past, now you're depressed, and guess what? When I get depressed, I like to eat. Satan knows this. He says, when I eat too much, I don't like the way that I look. And I know some of you are like, you need to stop eating so much. I get it. I'm trying. All right? Calm down. Satan will throw this out there to you. He'll go, and I go, and Satan's like, oh, I didn't get him. That's right. He don't like those chocolate Oreos. He likes vanilla. I know this guy. I've been on this road. And he goes, oh, here we go. You're depressed. And then I don't bite on it again. But listen, he goes, nobody can resist this. A chocolate chip, Chips Ahoy, soft, lightly toasted, the best morsel of chocolate you'll ever find in one bite. Little's not going to hurt, right? I make fun of this, but this is exactly how Satan works. And for some of us, it's not silly food. For some of us, the way that he baits us is... we can't guard our heart because this is the most important thing to us. Because the Bible's very clear. Money's not bad, but the love of money, when you'll put everything in this is the number one priority in your life. Satan will know this about you. And he'll go, hey, Cody. For us this morning, it was funny. This just came to me. I'm sorry. I know I'm scatterbrained today. I'm like chasing tons of rabbits today. Allie's friend Emma just turned 16. And so Lee and I got in a conversation about that this morning. And she said, I was talking to a friend at work the other day. Said that her son just got his driver's license. Her insurance went up by $175 per month. Okay, pause. I want you to think about this. I don't know if you know how not fun it is to live next to the church. Because everybody knows you're the preacher. Everybody expects you to be able to get into that building. Right? Everybody expects you 2:00 in the morning. Does it happen? My wife said I was bad. Jesus doesn't wake up till 8. You know what I mean? I want to hang a sign on my door, man. And like, for Lee and I, like, to move away from that house would be like the greatest blessing of all time. And I'm very appreciative. Thank you for letting us stay in that house. But that thing, I hate it. And so we have in our mind, what's our greatest dream? I mean, this woman, she got blisters on her fingers for scrolling up through all the little, like, Zillow and Billow and Villo and Mimo and JoJo, Seawall. I don't know, right? Realtors.com, thank you. This girl wants a house so bad she can hardly taste it. And every time we think about it, we're fixing to have twins that are fixing to turn 16. That's $350 a month to pay her. Right? And so I told her yesterday, I said, I know what I'm going to do on Saturdays. I heard what Colton made for, and he's a horrible ref. Umpire. And they paid him to do it. I'm like, I can do that. Yeah, you're out. Go sit down. Ball game. They pay him $30 a game for that. I was like, what? So I told Lee and I said, the only way we're going to survive, and we're going to get a new house, I'm going to have to become an umpire. She's like, you'll be a horrible umpire. And there's times that I chase this right here because Satan knows that when I go after this, that I don't go after Jesus. And when I'm not after Jesus, my heart gets dirty and it gets wicked and it misses what God had intended for him. Well, let's go just a step further because I think that we just need to really get grimy. Because it's no good if we just kind of do shallow stuff. Sometimes this is exactly what Satan throws out to us. You know, you have a social media account? Thank God I don't. None. I don't have Snapchat, Twing Twing, Ding Ding, Yoohoo, whatever other stuff you're a part of. Thank God I don't do that. But I do have a phone. And for some of us in here, the way Satan attacks us in our heart is if you have social media, you'll watch what everybody's highlights for. It's a highlight reel for their life. You see them going on vacation, but you don't realize that they're up to debt in their eyeballs because of that vacation. You don't see that. They don't talk about that. But what you see is you see all the highlights and you begin to go, why does my life stink so bad? And you're watching all this play out right in front of you. And now all of a sudden you're even more depressed. And then you think to yourself, well, I got to try harder. I got to do better. And that's what I want. And in that moment, you've given your heart away. The very thing that the Bible says above all else, guard it. And let's just be honest. The reason this thing right here is such a problem is for some of us, we need to be honest. We look at things that we shouldn't look at. And it's like if you're a drug addict carrying weed in your pocket all day long. I don't think weed's illegal anymore. Let's just go with math. Okay? You got math. And I mean, you just have it there just in case, you know? Are you ever going to come off that drug? No! In the same way with phones that don't have filters and blockers on them. I know this is deep. We shouldn't talk about this in church. This is just wrong. But the truth is, it's a pandemic worse than the pandemic we just got through. Lives are being destroyed because of that. And Satan knows this. He knows your weakness. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, he's the accuser of the saints, which he goes around all day long. Even though he tempted you to do that, you followed through with it after you've committed the sin, he goes, how dare you? You ever felt that? If you were truly born again, you ever heard that? And now all of a sudden your heart is wrecked. And when your heart is wrecked, you're rendered useless. Not by God's omission, but by your own. And you'll live a lifestyle that is just blown out of proportion continually. Because one, you didn't ask for wisdom. Two, you didn't take captive your thoughts. And three, you fell for the dumbest things ever. And guess what? You keep falling for them. So what do I got to do to guard my heart? I have to get into the Word of God. If it is truly a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, I have to treat it as a lamp and a light. Bow with me. Father, I thank you for this day.